special broadcast by America's beloved one-man family. Written and directed by Carlton E. Morris and featuring J. Anthony Smythe as Father Barber, Michael Othello as Paul, Don Bender as Margaret, Dick Davis as Pinky, and Henry Blair as Jimmy. Out in the Sea Cliff District of San Francisco, overlooking the Golden Gate, it's Saturday afternoon. Grandfather Barber sits on a bench in the back garden where the sun is strongest, listening to his young granddaughter Margaret on the subject of why Saturdays are a very fine institution in America.
I don't know who thought up Saturdays, Grandfather, but I'm so glad. See, I wish you thought up more of them.
Do you?
Yes. Saturdays are very good for people, especially grandchildren.
Why is that?
Well, I should think even grown-up folks could figure that out. You're at school 5 whole days, so along comes Saturday.
Oh, so it's school.
Sure.
But I thought you liked school.
Well, for a little. But pretty soon your brain gets so crammed full of stuff and your back aches sitting still. And your legs get cramped in them and it's stuffy and hot. And all you smell is chalk and ink and kids coughing.
Just a minute now.
Well, that's the way it seems. And along comes Saturday and it's wonderful.
You're getting along all right with your teachers, aren't you?
Pretty good. Nobody can get along with his teachers all the time.
I imagine he could if he learned all his lessons.
Nobody can get all his lessons all the time. You're going to think that's impossible.
Huh? I didn't know they asked students to do the impossible these days.
Well, anyway, I'm sure glad it's Saturday. Just breathe in the air and breathe in the air and listen to the birds and look at the ocean. I almost feel like I was alive.
Hi, Grandfather.
Oh, there's that
Pinky. Is that any way to speak of your brother?
Well, anyway.
You're sitting out here in the sun, huh? Hi, Mouse Meat.
And now you're Mouse Meat, Pinky Turbot.
Now then, you too.
Mouse Meat, Mouse Meat. That's all you ever call the person, Mouse Meat.
Oh, sure.
Well, you stop it. Mom told you to stop it, and so did Dan.
Okay, infant.
I'm not an infant. I'm not an infant.
My goodness, how the children do go on.
Who's the children?
Who's the children? What kind of a question is that?
Well, how can a girl grow up to be sweet and good and beautiful and grandsons and stuff like that? How can it, Grandfather?
Margaret, I think you're being much too explosive.
But I hate it, Grandfather. I hate it to pieces.
Well, Pinky, I doubt if you're doing all you can to make life pleasant for your little sister.
Oh, it's just for her own good.
Not for my own good.
I'm sure it is.
No, sir. I'm liable to grow up with a very bad disposition just because you make me mad all the time.
Oh.
Yes, sir. The time I heard Mom tell you that very statement.
You heard her tell me that very statement?
Yes, I did. But if brothers are always teasing sisters, the sisters are liable to grow up with very bad tempers.
Do you believe that, Grandfather?
I know you don't mean it to be hurtful, Pinky, but Margaret's always thought her two big brothers were pretty wonderful. I'd hate to have her ever change that.
What's so wonderful about brothers?
What was that I heard you telling your grandmother this morning? Something about Hank and Pinky being the two best brothers?
Yes, sir. I don't want Pinky to hear anything nice about him until he says something nice about me. Oh, look. There's Aunt Betty out in the porch with the three daughters. I'm going over.
Don't forget to have Aunt Betty blow your nose.
Susie, Hubbard, that's a nasty, cool thing to say, and I hate it.
Must you, boy?
Oh, Margaret likes it, really. Gives her something to yell about. She hollers around and makes a big fuss and gets a lot of attention. What more can a girl want than that?
Yes.
Grandfather?
Yes?
Do you know Jimmy Slater?
Yes. Any relation to the Slaters who live across the street?
Yeah, their son.
What about him?
He says his mother thinks she's got cancer.
Yes. Think she has.
Well, Jimmy isn't supposed to know. He just kind of overheard something.
Yes, young ones do.
Yeah. He heard his mother crying in her bedroom, and that kind of scared him, so he listened, and pretty soon he heard his mother praying, and she kept saying over and over, "Oh, don't let it be cancer. Don't let it be cancer." Over and over like that.
That's pretty dreadful, boy.
Yeah. I was out in the vacant lot playing ball with the kids when Jimmy came along and told us. It made me kind of sick, and I quit the game.
But hasn't she been to a doctor?
I guess not. Jimmy said she was scared to go. Jimmy's scared, too. What is cancer, anyway, Grandpa?
Now, don't you get complexes about cancer. There's enough unnecessary fear about it in the world now.
No, sir, but people talk about it like it was, well, almost like it was something to be ashamed of. Something to hide.
Well, it's not. just like any other disease in that way. If you had pneumonia or scarlet fever or smallpox and went out and hid yourself away because you were afraid of going to a doctor and finding out the truth, you'd die from those diseases, too.
You mean a lot of people die of cancer just because they don't go and get it treated?
Of course. I was reading some facts on this subject just the other day. I remember one quotation saying, one out of three cancer deaths might have been prevented if the case had been caught in time and properly treated.
Oh, Tim and me, why don't we go tell Mrs. Slater?
Huh?
Oh, sure. Just go across the street and ring her doorbell.
No, we can't do that.
What if it will save her life? If her house is on fire, we'd do it.
Of course we would. But I've got a better idea. Come along with you.
We're going to do something about it?
We certainly are. You know, Pinky, thousands and thousands of people could save themselves great agony of mind every year if they'd only go see their doctors when they think they have cancer.
How do you mean, Grandfather?
Here, let's cut across the lawn.
How do you mean, save themselves agony of mind?
Well, thousands who think they have cancer actually don't. They get a lump or strain swelling and immediately think cancer. Ironically, I heard of one man who actually killed himself because he thought he had cancer when all he had was a benign tumor under his eye.
Golly. Why won't people go to their doctor?
Fear. Unnecessary fear. Here, watch your step.
Yeah. We're going inside?
We're going to make a telephone call. Come along in the library.
Who are we going to call?
Fred Thompson.
Dr. Thompson? Hey, he's just a person.
Yeah. Where's his number?
How come you call him Fred Thompson and not doctor like he is?
Here it is. Because I've known Fred Thompson before he was dried behind the ears. He once tried to marry your grandmother.
Oh, sure, I remember. You and Dr. Thompson and Judge Turner.
Is that you, Fred? Here it is. Fred, isn't Mrs. James Slater one of your patients? She's not? Oh, she is. Speak up, man, so a person can hear you. Who's in to see you? Huh? I know it's none of my business. Oh, blast your medical ethics. Listen, Fred. If you haven't seen her in the last year, I've an idea you'd better see to it you do. Of course I know what I'm talking about. Listen, you old pill dispenser. I knew you when you didn't have a pill to your name nor a patient to put it in. Yes. Why should you see Mrs. Slater? Because the rumor is around that the woman thinks she's got cancer. And she's so distraught, she spends her time in her bedroom crying. Yes? I don't know how long. I just know that she's terrified to come and see you, and I thought... hello? Hello? Yes, that's courtesy for you.
Did he hang up on you?
He did.
Isn't he going to do anything about it?
Yes, he'll do something about it.
Oh, he hung up on you so he could get right at it, huh?
You keep an eye out the window. I venture to say you'll see Fred Thompson's car parked across the street before you can say Jack Robinson.
I should think they'd train people what to do about cancer.
Huh?
I mean, like Jimmy Slater. He was so scared he was shaking. And like me, I kind of got sick just hearing the word cancer. Now I hear you talking about it, and I know it's terrible, but... it doesn't seem any more terrible than any disease.
People should train their children to understand cancer and what to do about it. Exactly as they teach their children to swim in case they fall in deep water.
There he is. There's the doctor.
Yes. I thought he'd say stuff. He doesn't waste time with cancer. Yes. He was telling me that cancer caused more than twice the number of fatalities in America than did World War II during the same period.
Golly. And just because people won't go to a doctor in time, is that it, Grandfather?
It is.
Grandfather, are you in the house?
Margaret's back.
Hey, where is everybody?
In the library, small fry.
He's a small fry. He's a small fry.
Yes.
Hey, Grandfather, Dr. Thompson just drove up across the street.
We saw him.
What's the matter? Somebody sick?
Mrs. Slater thinks she's got cancer.
Oh, that's terrible.
Why is it terrible?
Because it is.
You're just mimicking what you heard somebody else say. How can it be terrible when you don't even know she's got it?
I said
she thinks she's got it.
Well, if I think I got a nosebleed, I've got one, haven't I?
That's different. It takes a doctor to tell if he's got cancer.
That too, Grandfather.
Yes, yes.
Maybe she hasn't got it at all?
And even if she has, it may not matter a great deal catching it at this early stage.
What do you do for cancer to cure it?
There are only three known methods of cancer treatment at present. They are surgery, X-ray, and radium.
You said that kind of funny. Only three.
They're on purpose.
Why?
Because there are always newspaper and magazine stories promising new cures and raising people's hopes. Besides that, there are thousands of old wives' remedies and fakers' remedies which are foisted upon the unsuspecting public. The medical profession recognizes only surgery, X-ray, and radium.
Well, when Dr. Thompson comes out of their house, will he know for sure about Mr. Stevens?
I doubt that.
Yes?
You'll probably need to make tests and examinations at his office.
And how are we going to know?
My dear, all in good time. All in good time.
Oh, hello, Jimmy.
Hi, Pinky. Where are you going, over to the bakery lot?
Yeah, I guess so.
Hey, you know something, Pinky?
Huh? What?
You know about my mother? You know about her thing that she had cancer?
Yeah.
She hasn't.
Hey, that's keen.
It sure is.
Did she tell you?
No, I wasn't supposed to know. But you know what?
What?
This morning after breakfast, I went upstairs. Their bedroom door was kind of open. She was down on her knees saying a prayer.
Oh.
She was saying how ashamed she was that she'd let fear get a hold of her. And how she was glad it wasn't cancer. But even if it had been, she knew now that the doctor could have helped her.
You hadn't ought to listen in on people when they're praying, Jimmy.
It was my mother.
Yeah, sure, but you're not supposed to.
Okay. But I'm glad I did, because I was sure scared. I sure was.
Oh, that's kid stuff.
Sure. Next time I won't be. I'll just go to a doctor. Lickety split.
This is Paul Barber, who wants to remind you that cancer strikes on an average in one of every two families. You should also know that no one member of the family, male or female, is safe from cancer because of age. This horrible malady must be brought under control. Many types of cancer are now curable, yes. But unless we act, 184,000 Americans now living will die of cancer this year alone. We must do all within our power to prevent this tragedy from falling upon our homes. The American Cancer Society, through its programs, at least 60% of what you give remains in the state to help lick local cancer problems. Give and give generously to conquer cancer.